B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
5 o'clock hour. Yep. It's here. It's arrived. The 5 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show, which is always brought to you by Guide at Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors. No money down. Up to 3 years to pay it off. Interest free. Call Guide at Door and Window today. 1-877-GO-GUIDE or visit GOGUIDA.com. Philly's back at it with Milwaukee tonight. They have two regulars out of the lineup. They got Goslin playing. They got Sean Rodriguez playing. Why is it that Franco always gets a day off? He had a hit last night, didn't he? Hit the ball hard in the ninth inning.
Yeah, I think it was 1-for-4, yeah.
Yeah, 1-for-3.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, he struck out twice, but he hit the ball hard in the ninth. So he gets the day off. And Sean Rodriguez plays. And McCutcheon's got to play because nobody else can play center field. So McCutcheon, who needs a day off, has to play because they got the right-handed hitting lineup against Gio Gonzalez tonight. They need a right-handed hitting outfielder. They don't have a backup right-handed hitting outfielder. Since they got rid of Altair, they got two utility players.
Yeah, I mean, what about when Jetpax comes back?
Yeah, he's not an outfielder either. What if he's a utility guy like Sean Rodriguez will probably go when Kingery gets, or Goslin, one of them will go.
Yeah, and then maybe they
There's
play.
Still no outfielder.
Well, I think they think Jetpax can play in the outfield, don't they?
I think he can play center occasionally.
Well,
not left. McCutcheon needs a day off.
Yeah, he does.
All right, let's go to Tom in Wilkes-Barre. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Hi, Mike. How are
What's
you?
What's up, Tom?
I was listening to your show yesterday, particularly, and today, people talking about trading Ben Simmons or Embiid, or both. The only reason, Mike, in my opinion, that we're even talking about Philadelphia sports is because of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Now, they're going to make some changes, I believe, in what they're doing next year. Turnovers, and Ben Simmons has to get a jump shot. Come on. Who comes into the league? Maybe Magic is free. He can show him what he did. But that's my opinion, Mike.
I think you're right. I think you keep this core together. It is astounding to me that the kid has not yet taken a jump shot in a game.
I know.
I've never seen anybody who has not taken a jump shot. This is like a unique situation. But I agree with you. And, like, you got to trust these guys that they'll get better. And you got to trust the front office that they sign both those players and are savvy enough to bring some bench players that are better than what they have now. And they should be a contender. On their face, they're a contender.
I like Jake Scott. I would keep him. They got to find a center that can jump more than half an inch off the floor.
Yeah, I don't think any of those centers will be back next year. Jonah Bolden might survive as a, you know.
Who's that, Mike?
Jonah Bolden might survive as a front court sub, but I don't think Boban.
I agree with you. What point? This guy came and touted is going to be the next Magic Johnson, and he's great. He's great. I love watching these guys. I loved watching them when they were winning, and they could have beat anybody, but they could have lost anybody at the same time. Inappropriate turnovers at the end of games, half court. He throws a pass over his head to the other side of the court during the playoffs. And there was a shot of Brett Brown with his hands up in the air like, what are you doing? I mean, he's not as good as he thinks he is, but he can be better than he is.
I get you, and you just have to have faith. Now, if he comes back next year and he's the same player who won't shoot, I'm pretty much done.
I can't see. Look, as Marco Fultz came up, he was supposed to be this great guy. A couple other people.
Yeah, I hear you, bro. I hear you.
And there's Lorenzo Ball. I mean, and somebody was talking about trading these draft picks. You don't know what these guys are going to be.
Who was the last guy?
There was somebody in your show talking about
Lorenzo who?
Trading picks to New Orleans for Ben Simmons. They're going to give up picks to send to New Orleans to trade Ben Simmons down there for Ja, right?
That was Memphis. Talk about Memphis trading Ben.
Said Lorenzo Ball.
He said Lorenzo. Yeah, he did. He had a couple names wrong. It happens. L in North Philly. L, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, L?
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
How you doing, L?
Hey, as far as the Sixers, I think it's not a success, but because of the context, it's acceptable. As far as the context, it's like kind of two perspectives I have. It's historical and it's this season. Historically, it's not many teams that's led by a 24-year-old and a 22-year-old that's leading teams in a deep playoff run. As great as Jimmy Butler is, he isn't the best player on a championship team, in my opinion. And our future is kind of tied to Joe and Ben. Mm-hmm. And as far as this year...
First of all, are you okay with it being tied to Joe and Ben?
Yeah, I'm okay with it because like I said, I've been watching the NBA for a long time, and teams led by young guys just don't win. They just don't have... It takes time. You know what I mean? They got to get some years under their belt. And a lot of what happened this year is because of youth and inexperience. So they have to go through the paces. Everybody had to go through it. Yeah. Well, unless you're like Magic and Bird.
I got that, but you should be able to shoot a jump shot. I mean, listen.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I understand that the kid's young. I get it. He's young. But come on. Give me a guy who can shoot a jump shot.
Mike, I'm speaking from the results point of view. But now, as far as Ben shooting a jump shot, yeah, that's a no-brainer. Like, take the shot. Even if you didn't shoot jump shots, but you took the ball to the hole aggressively and actually tried to make a layup, then, you know what I mean? That would even be acceptable. And last thing, as far as this year, it's just too much going on. They're pretty much on a third team. Tobias came late in the year, and I've been watching the league the whole year. Quite frankly, Toronto was just better than them all season. They won the season.
Well, they're certainly a more consistent defensive team.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they defended them.
I think that's tied more to them playing together longer.
They're a great defensive team, and they got a great player that leads them.
Yep.
All right, let me give you a general knowledge question. This is a movie multiple choice. All right, okay. Which one of these movies was not directed by our favorite Sixer fan, M. Night Shyamalan? Is it Glass, Signs, The Ring, or The Sixth Sense?
Out of my wheelhouse, I'm going to say The Ring.
The Ring is correct. It's correct. Glass, Signs, and Sixth Sense were all directed by M. Night.
Did you like Signs?
I don't
with the tinfoil hats?
No.
I thought it was...
It's not my genre.
I thought it was
The Sixth Sense I like. Glass and Signs were not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Sixth Sense was epic.
Yeah, it was very...
When it came out.
Yeah, and he's been chasing that ever since, I think.
Speaking of Bruce Willis.
He's made enough money to get good season tickets.
Mm-hmm. And he goes to the games. He's not one of those guys that doesn't show up.
He's a fan night.
Real fun.
What was the one with the ending where it was actually Mother Nature? Remember?
That was the one with Marky Mark.
Yeah.
Marky Mark really ruined it, though, with his bad acting.
Yes.
Because he's horrendous.
That was The Happening or something, right?
What was that one? I forget the name. I know what you're talking about, but it was Marky Mark's.
Yes.
Yeah, I forget the title.
Nice man, good living. Mike in Northeast Philly. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike, how you doing today?
Good.
I just was wanting to talk a little bit about that last shot. I know it's been talked about over and over again, but I was looking at it very closely, and what I seen was Embiid kind of cut off Simmons in his defensive
play. Yeah, he did, but it can also be looked at as a good switch because Ben was behind, and Joel stepped into that void and actually made it pretty hard for Kawhi. So I don't have any problem with the defense that was played there.
Okay, and the second thing I just wanted to mention is, I don't know if you go to the Sixers game, but my son is the Sixers dance kid that's down there all the time doing the floss dance. He's been on national television and everything.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing him. Yeah.
Yes, that's my little son. He wants to say hello to you because he's a big fan of yours.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Mike Mussinelli.
How you doing, buddy? Good job this year.
Thank you.
All right, man. All right. Now, hold on, Mike. I'm going to give you a general knowledge question. This is the NBA foreign players quiz.
Okay.
All right, these are ranked according to how many points they've scored. So number one was Nowitzki. Number two was Elijah Wan. Number three was Patrick Ewing. Number four and five were Pau Gasol and Tony Parker. Number six is Orlando Blackman. So I'm going to give you give me seven and number eight. Number seven is from Canada. Number eight is from Germany. The German played a lot of his years for the Seattle Supersonics.
Dennis Stripp.
I'm sorry, who was that? Deadlift Shrimp is correct. Now, who's the Canadian?
That one out. The Canadian.
Dallas and Phoenix.
Dallas and Phoenix. Jake, is it Jason? No, Jason, not Jason Kidd. He wasn't Canadian. Steve Nash.
Yes! Yeah. Correct! Under the wire, Steve Nash. Number 7, Detlef Schrempf. Number 8.
I love
Detlef
Schrempf.
But the two Germans in the top 8.
Detlef Schrempf is a little faux German.
What, because he came here and went to the University of Washington?
Yeah. And it counts.
That's not faux German.
It counts.
Counts, definitely counts.
It's like Patrick Ewing. A lot of some of these are faux. Just like I think Marc Gasol is faux. Because he's born in Spain, but he was playing AAU in Memphis when his brother was playing in the NBA.
Yeah.
So he's going to Memphis High School. So it's a little faux.
Yeah.
He's born in Spain, but Marc Gasol was playing in America.
Yeah, birthright.
Oh, did you hear what they pulled for defense, by the way?
Who?
So, on switches, because they were doubling Embiid a lot,
mm-hmm.
Embiid speaks French.
Yeah.
And so does Siakam.
Yeah.
But he doesn't speak Spanish. So for when they doubled certain guys, they said it in one foreign language. When they doubled Embiid, they said it in Spanish, not in French, because they knew. Because they caught on. Like, if they go to double Butler, they were saying it in French, and Embiid was able to call it out because he understood. So then they started changing up the languages depending on who they were covering so that Embiid couldn't translate, and they double-teamed him in Spanish. That's what the Raptors did.
They said double in Spanish, but he couldn't figure that out?
They weren't saying double. They had code words.
Like, oh, yeah, code words
yes,
in Spanish?
Yes, they were saying it in different languages. Because when they said it in French for Butler, Embiid snuffed it out. So then they changed languages on him, like baseball changing signs. Raptors were getting tricky with that. They weren't just using English.
Actually genius.
Yeah, it worked. But their defense was great. But yeah, they kept changing because Embiid could speak French, so it wasn't working. Apparently, all season, they just did it in French. Once Gasol arrived, he speaks enough French that they doubled using French. And then Embiid figured it out. They were like, hold on, we got to change up. So they switched and went to Spanish.
that's a good pull there.
Well, I mean,
that's another edge to the series.
Those rappers.
Clayton in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Clayton.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Natalie. Hey, Tyrone. How you guys
doing? What's up, Clayton? How you doing?
So, Mike, I wanted to critique the last three possessions of the Sixers because I believe that, you know, they didn't really give themselves a chance to win that game.
Correct.
And it's within, you know, their will to win. And it, to me, you know, Brett Brown is a good coach, and he is not going to be a great coach until he knows how to coach in-game situations based upon what he sees. So on three of those possessions, they're double-teaming Jimmy and Tobias on the wing every single time. Why didn't he make an adjustment? I mean, he's good at after-game adjustment, but in-game adjustment is where I think that he just doesn't coach great, because he could have easily said, listen, call the play where they should have went inside at least once to change the dynamics, because Toronto knew they were going to try to get their perimeter players off. And that's where they faltered. And if he would have just called something different, they probably would have at least got one attempt at the
basket. I can't disagree with you. I mean, there was something to be desired. But you can't expect to win a series. And in the end game, you don't get a shot on three possessions.
That's crazy.
Really, that's why it's stuck in my gut so hard, that these squandered opportunities that they had. And there were three of them.
And here's another thing. On that last play, I mean, Kawhi Leonard hit an amazing shot. So he's a Hall of Famer. That shot's going to go down in history. Why didn't they just use a spy on him? Like, do not defend the inbounder. And they had that stack play and just have a spy away from the stack and just go with Kawhi the moment he breaks into the rim.
Well, you do want to make it difficult for them to inbound the ball. So I don't know about not having a guy over
the inbound. Up to that point, nobody on the Raptors wanted to shoot the ball.
Now, listen, they chased him well enough. He got the ball like 40 feet from the basket and had to go around the world to the right and was still guarded.
There's a way that you can prevent a guy from getting the initial pass.
Yeah, I don't know. In the NBA, it's really tough to do that. You got to put some pressure on the inbounder, too, to help you out there. You just can't give them free reign. Because they know where they're going, and you don't. It's like you said yesterday. It's like the wide receiver.
That, but more egregiously was them not being able to be NBA players and get a shot.
All right. No, I got you. Let me give you a general knowledge question from the general knowledge category. Who's Butler? Is named Alfred Pennyworth.
Alfred Pennyworth.
Alfred Pennyworth, whose butler is named Alfred Pennyworth.
Is it a TV show?
I can't help you out, bro. But it is.
I'm stumped.
It's also a movie. And it's also a comic book.
Is it Batman?
It's Bruce Wayne.
Well,
Bruce Wayne is his butler is for Bruce Wayne.
Yes, he is. Not Batman.
He's not Batman.
Wait, but he knows.
Yeah, he's the only one who does know.
He does know.
He helps set everything up or handle his affairs.
It's not like he goes, give me your wings, sir.
He is responsible. He's responsible for the suit. They do that in the movies. Oh, yeah,
and he takes care of the car, too.
And the cars. Oh, yeah, the Batmobile. He's in charge of all of that.
No, he's,
there you go.
Yeah, Alfred has a very important job.
Batman's my favorite superhero, and people tell me that that's very controversial.
It is.
Because he's not technically a superhero because he doesn't have superpowers.
That's right.
He doesn't have superpowers.
But doesn't that make him more of a superhero than the rest of them since he's not gifted?
Depending
he's just a man.
Here's the difference. If Batman had too much to drink, I could beat his behind. I couldn't beat up Wolverine or real Thor or the Hulk. I could let I've won too many drinks and now I'm beating Batman I'm a superhero.
Were you of age to remember the old Batman TV?
My dad used to watch the reruns on Nick at Night, so I remember seeing all of them, including my dad's favorite episode, the Green Hornet and Kato crossover episode. So yeah, I saw them all.
Oh, Gina in Philly. Gina, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. Gina.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hello, Gina.
I just wanted to say, as far as the Sixers is concerned, I think it's too much panic going on. And you got to remember, last year, when they had potential, everybody was kind of shocked that they won 16 games straight.
Mm-hmm.
They got into the playoffs. Everybody was shocked, but everything was based on potential. They learned to say what they needed to say. We got to be more aggressive. We got to do this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it was more of an expectation because we got Butler and Tobias. And this is their first year working off of expectation. So now they got to learn to do what they need to do instead of say what they need to say. This is going to let us know whether or not they're going to move forward, because if Ben Simmons start working on his jump shot and Embiid start mastering the paint area, then we can see whether or not they learned something from what we went through to become a championship team.
No, there's no question you're right, but there are a lot of moving parts to this offseason, right? And two of them are already known players. You're counting on growth from both Embiid and Simmons, your two main stars. And that's not even considered the Tobias Butler thing or the J.J. Redick or what your bench is going to look like and all that. There's a lot of moving parts in the offseason.
And that's what's necessary, but they still need time to grow and the chemistry. They didn't really play a long time together.
All right, so next season, what do you expect? What are your expectations, Gina? What do they have to do for you?
Ben Simmons has to definitely work on getting some type of jump shot.
All right, what about that team-wise? What are your expectations?
Team-wise, I hope Butler stay and Tobias stay, but I still think they need another key player, and they need to strengthen up the bench. The bench, really, they have to make changes in the bench. We need more people that are more aggressive play and more defensive-minded. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Let me give you a general knowledge question, Gina. You ready?
Yep.
All right. This is the States by Wikipedia description. McCain's running mate was Sarah Palin, this state's governor.
I have no idea.
Oh, that's Alaska. Sarah Palin, let you remember, she could see Russia from her front porch.
You betcha.
Sarah, you betcha.
What do you think she's doing right now?
Sarah? Remember when she got bored at the Flyers game?
Pouring a bowl of cereal.
Nah, she's
grandkid.
Yeah, she had a tough time because, and I don't want to dump on Sarah, her son attacked her husband.
Oh, that's right. She had a lot of family drama.
And then the daughter had... The abstinence daughter had, I think, at least one more kid, and it's been a lot of family issues for Sarah, unfortunately. Yeah. Apparently, the family did not quite practice what was preached.
No, it's an Alaska thing. It's always dark there, so
Yeah, so, yeah, probably
it's
miserable.
Tough to stay away from problems.
I tell you what, I don't know what I would do 6 months straight in the dark.
Maybe it is, maybe it is. You know,
gotta be.
It might be beautiful.
That old saying.
I don't know.
Start
I don't think
there.
I live in a lot of darkness like that.
No.
Yeah. Nothing good happens after a certain time, but it's always that time in Alaska.
It's correct. Dave in Sellersville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Dave?
Big fan.
Thanks, buddy.
Not much. I had called earlier on the way home from work, but my cell dropped. I was going to ask if you would like Carson Edwards if he falls to the Sixers, and it sounded like you were on board.
I like him a lot. I've been a fan of his all year. He's a dynamic scorer, and he's at times unstoppable. Now, in the NBA, you do have to defend, and he's 6 foot, maybe 6'1". So I don't know how that would play in the NBA. It would be interesting if he... I think Ty Jerome would be a more versatile player in the NBA than Carson Edwards would be. Carson Edwards would be more dynamic over a long haul. Ty Jerome, if he's there, would he would be a combo guard that they thought that Markel Fultz would be.
Right, yeah, absolutely. I'm hoping they get one of those two, Ty Jerome or Edwards.
Edwards is actually projected to go a little sooner than their pick. So,
yeah,
but he might be there.
No,
22 is what I get this mock that says Carson Edwards going 22, Ty Jerome going 24. It may go the reverse way. I don't know.
Gotcha. Before I get to my last point, I also would like to wish you guys success tomorrow. Hopefully that, disease is cured in our lifetime, and hopefully the weather cooperates for you and everyone that goes.
Well, thank you very much. It looks like the weather is going to cooperate.
Outstanding. My last point, and there's been like an arbitrary deadline for Ben to shoot made on the show today of the All-Star game of next year. And that's tough because, like you said, if he's not by that point, he's devalued, which makes this offseason important if you would ever even think about moving on. Would anyone be on your short list besides Devin Booker or Anthony Davis that you would trade him for or consider it?
Lillard.
That would be good too, man. He's
Lillard more than CJ McCollum. Jamal Murray.
I forgot about Jamal Murray. That would be interesting too.
Yeah, I mean, those kind of guys would get my attention. All right, here's a general knowledge question for you. It's movie multiple choice. Which of the following is filmmaker Michael Bay known for? A, explosions, B, sweeping Western landscapes, C, romantic comedies, or D, fanciful costume designs?
Explosions.
That is correct. Michael Bay. Give me some Michael Bay.
Transformers.
Bad Boys.
Armageddon.
Yeah, Bad Boys.
Oh, yeah,
too.
Bruce Willis again.
The Rock. What else?
I love Bad Boys 2's car chase scene.
Transformers 2.
Transformers. Bad Boys 2. He did some horror, too, didn't he? Do horror movies? Did he do, like, one real famous horror movie?
I don't know. I think he did.
It was the chainsaw movie.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah, I think that was his, wasn't
it? He did.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
He did Michael a few. Bennett? He did that. I think that's him. Amityville Horror.
There you go.
The Purge.
I think we should get some horror. That was early in his career.
Horror movies?
Early in his career.
No.
Horror. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's a semi-success. It's a half a step when you can take a full. You know, it takes you longer to get there than a half step. It's 5:33 on the Mike Missinelli Show, and it's time for our final Twitter poll of the day. which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're looking to repower a zero turn or a walk behind mower, all you landscapers, Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement. And they're in stock. And it's a lot cheaper to get an engine replacement than a new machine. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie.
Sometimes the button just sticks. Yes. Over 2,300 votes on this one today. Was the 2018-2019 Sixers season a success? Final results indicate 51% say yes, 49% say no.
Now, would that horn be post Game of Thrones or during Game of Thrones?
That
did
horn?
They have horns in medieval times?
Did yeah.
They did?
Did yeah. they?
I haven't seen the horn yet in Game of Thrones.
Well, there's no merriment.
I haven't seen anybody.
I was going to say, there's no merriment.
Yeah,
have you
no.
seen any happy moments?
Well, so, I mean, there's happy moments when the, you know, when they're frolicking with the queen and they're jousting and all that stuff.
There's grand moments.
A random brass player.
Nah.
No.
No.
Fight for survival.
Not, you got to use all the
weapons. I don't think the horns were in that time frame.
I think they were at the Lancelot and them. But they yeah. were always fighting Lancelot.
Okay.
And them.
All right. By the way, you know, tomorrow Mike Snelly Open. You might think it's all fun and games for me, right?
I wouldn't.
You would be forgetting about the ceremonial first shot.
Oh, yeah. How you feeling about it?
Well, I don't know. But the pressure is akin to, I don't know, 3-2 count, two outs, tying run on second base. At the foul line, 1-1. You're down 2 seconds on the clock. It's a lot of pressure that first shot, Tyrone. People gather around. And the shot is not easy because the Jaworski's course, the one closest to where everybody's organized, is the par 3 12th. Which is 175 yards carry over water, which is in between for me. It's an in-between club. In between a 5-iron and a hybrid.
Mm. That's right.
See, I wish it was just a par 4 where I could just wail the drive. But it's not. It's a delicate shot.
So you have to be
shot.
Strategic.
You know, we got a...
Very pressurized. I hooked it last year.
There's a big contest, too, tomorrow.
What's that?
At that hole.
There is?
You get hole-in-one.
You get the hole-in-one. You get a 2-year lease on a 2019 yeah. Mercedes-Benz GLA, courtesy of Mercedes-Benz of Fort Washington, Westchester, and Atlantic City.
Yeah, that's a very difficult shot. If you get a hole-in-one, you earn that car.
Wow.
It's a tough shot, but...
I'm just worried about getting it airborne and getting it somewhat, I mean, hitting it on the surface of the green. Otherwise, I get mocked. It's a lot of pressure, Natalie.
I think you'll be fine. We'll be there cheering you on, silently.
Yeah, I don't know what to cheer for. I hope you make it.
Yeah.
Or hit it in the water.
I see. I hooked it last year.
I don't see. That does nothing for me.
I hit it in the water. I didn't hit it in the water. I hooked it.
That does nothing for me.
I hooked it wide over the water, but wide, and I got snickered.
I don't. No one snickered, did they?
There's a couple.
Snicker.
Some of them know you, though.
Yeah. Just snicker. Snicker worthy. Unless you hit it perfect, they're going to snicker. So it's the pressure.
It's going to be okay.
All right, let's go Jay in Roxborough. Jay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay.
Mike.
What's going on, Jay?
Nothing much. I just listened to a lot of the callers, you know, proposing these trades for Ben. But I think what they had to think about first is that these people that they're proposing this trade for represent not only the primary ball handler, but the primary scorer. They're trying to trade Ben Simmons to a team where... And getting return, the other team's primary ball handler and scorer.
No, you're right. And like, you know, we're thinking that we automatically think that another team would value Ben Simmons more than their own player.
Here's news. I love Ben, but here's news for everybody. Ben absolutely does not have any trade value because another coach would say, well, this guy's not shooting the ball over there. What makes me think he's going to come over here and shoot the ball?
True.
And if I push him into becoming a forward, well, Brett Brown already tried that, and then Ben started sucking his thumb until he was able to get the ball back.
No, you make good points. You know, you make good points, Jay.
Yes. Why would I, as a coach or of another team, want to bring that on? So, I mean, essentially, you know what this guy is? We are stuck with Ben.
You believe that he is going to be the magical player that we all think he is. There might be somebody who thinks that and is willing to take that chance on it. But I hear your point.
Yeah, I think the league is getting a little smarter now. They're realizing guys are what they are unless they make a decision to change their game. you know, but, you know, this guy's got his millions already. You know, when the next contract comes up, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. But you know,
I get you. I share the same worries. If he comes back next year, I'm going to pull my eyeballs out if he doesn't shoot it. Yeah, all right, your general knowledge question. We're going to end this on a good note because I think you know your stuff. This is a foreign NBA players quiz ranked by scoring. All right, I'm going to go down the list of the people we've had. Number one was Dirk. Number two was Olajuwon. Number three was Ewing. Four, Gasol. Five, Tony Parker. Six, Rolando Blackman. Seven, Steve Nash. Eight, Detlef Schrempf. Give me numbers 9 and 10. Number 9 is from Argentina. Number 10 is from Serbia.
Okay, we're going to go Ginobili.
Ginobili is correct at number 9. Who is number 10 from Serbia? Do you need a hint?
Give me one little hint.
Sacramento.
Okay. My pager keep blowing up.
That's correct. Peja Stojakovic. Hold on a second. That's good work. Peja Stojakovic.
Peja would be... He was a good player then. He'd be a great player in today's game.
Fire.
Where they tell you to shoot all those threes.
6'9" could fire.
Mm-hmm.
Number 11 is from the Sudan, Tyrone.
From the Sudan.
I'll give you a hint. Duke.
Oh, Luol Deng.
Luol Deng is correct. Serbia, number 12. Lakers.
What, Vladi?
Vladi Dadi. 13, Netherlands.
Netherlands? Who's from the Netherlands?
The Duncan Dutchman, they call them.
I don't remember.
Pacers.
Oh, Detlef Schrempf.
No. Pacers, 7-4.
No, Rick Smith.
Rick Smith is correct. Number 14 from the Bahamas. His kid is in the league.
His kid is in the league.
His son plays for an NBA champion.
Is Curry from the Bahamas?
It's not Curry.
From the Bahamas?
It's not Curry.
I don't know who's
not
from
Curry.
Oh, you're talking about Klay Thompson, the Pop?
It's Pop, Michael Thompson.
He's from the Bahamas?
From the Bahamas.
I never knew that.
There you go.
But that might explain the weird spelling of Michael.
That's right.
With the Y.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And Marc Gasol is 15. Yeah. We'll take a break and come back. Sound off is coming your way right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me. What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number 5 will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Let's keep going. Sound off.
All right, time for sound off. But first, the winner of the Who tickets for General Knowledge Wednesday is Dave Poiron, P-O-I-R-O-N. Congratulations to Dave. He wins a pair of tickets to see the Who Citizens Bank Park May 25th. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Sound off 610-771-9705. Got something to say? Hit us up on that line. And we review all the messages, and we save the best.
I'm not saying they should have fired Brett Brown, but I'll tell you what, I'm tired of all the built-in excuses that this guy has had at his disposal and has used. So I don't want to hear it. If they're not in striking distance for first place by New Year's of next season, he is out on his
All right, well, at least you give him a chance. We'll see. They're going to be a contender. I mean, let's face it, they come back in this form. They're a 50-plus win team, and they're a contender for the Eastern Conference title.
I'm glad Brett Brown is coming back. Think about it like this. If you give a vintner proper soil and fertilizer in the middle of the season, that first harvest might be okay, but the following season, when that soil has had a chance to take root and all the nutrients come together, you will produce some of the finest grapes on the vine.
Not necessarily, because the terroir has to be excellent. It has to be like in the right hills and the right climate and all that stuff. But I get it. At least he's thinking agriculturally and rooted and all that stuff. I like it. I like the analogy.
You really kind of took down the winter. You took it down a little bit, though.
Yeah, well, the winter, there's two, like if you were saying grown vegetables, that'd be different. But the winter, to me, the vines are very temperamental. They got it the right terroir.
I am so tired of looking at Joel crying like a high school ball player. Come on, dude. He's crying. He let us down. And we were all crying.
Come on, man. Seriously. You pick on a guy because he let his emotions out. You know, we also wish we were hardcore like you, but sometimes we break.
The reason Brett Brown shouldn't come back is simple. It's expectation with the talent you have. The Sixers have the most talented team in the East this year. Therefore, not winning the Eastern Conference Finals is fireable.
The most talented five. I don't know if they had the most talented team. There are two different concepts there.
Brett Brown, he's okay to me. At the end of the day, the players play the game. Joel Embiid, he's too big to be trying to be a Dirk Nowitzki or the Joker. Just keep shooting threes. Get down low, bang like the big guys do.
Not the way the game's played anymore. You got to have your center away from the basket a lot because you run a lot of pick and screen action and you get darts to the lane, all that kind of stuff. But I agree with you that six a game is too many. I would be like 3-4 max a game for Embiid taking threes. He doesn't shoot them. He makes a couple, but he doesn't shoot them well enough to shoot six.
Everybody's got to back off of Embiid for crying, man. It just shows his emotion and his passion for the game. He played his heart out all the time. This plus minus is insane. The guy's been playing with being sick, and his knees have been crap the whole series. Give him a break.
Yeah, the crying I can give an excuse for, but he did not really come to play in a couple of games. So I only go so far with that.
Been watching Bryce Harper, and the thing that I'm noticing is that he doesn't seem relaxed at the plate. It seems like he's up there thinking too much. I know the one thing when you're at the plate, if you got a lot of stuff on your mind about what you think the pitcher is going to throw you, it's going to put you in a funk.
You're absolutely right. He's got a bunch of negative thoughts. I got to get hit. I got to get hit. When you're cluttered up top, you're not free. And he's not free right now.
Yeah, all the baseball experts that said Bryce Harper is going to love Citizens Bank Park. 163 last year as a National. As a Philly, 173 batting average this year. Wonderful.
Come on, Dave. You can't take those stats of how he hits a Citizens Bank Park in a small window. You got to have a whole season how he's going to hit a Citizens Bank Park. He's struggling right now, but at the end of the day, you know he's going to get 100 RBIs, 35 home runs.
Let's make sure they bring back JJ, baby. JJ. I'll tell you what, he'll be better than ever next year. I'm telling you, they need to bring him back, and that team and that organization will click with him. That whole team, the coach, they got it.
JJ? What? Reddick? Is he talking about?
Yeah.
Why so much on Reddick? He's going to be 35. I'd bring him back at a smaller salary as a bench player. Otherwise, I got to get somebody more athletic.
Stop it with Bryce Harper. He's been a Philly not even 3 months. He's 26 years old. He's going to be one of the best players in the MLB. He already is. Stop whining about the strikeout. He'll get it together.
Well, I hope so, but you just can't ignore the fact that he struck out 56 times. He's looking terrible at the plate. He's getting foul balls and swings and misses on velocity pitches. That means he's late, and there should, for as good a hitter as he is, that shouldn't be the case.
I'm just very happy with the Sixers this year. You know what? I'm glad they kept their coach. They had a good run. Power to them, man. They're going to be back next year, and they're probably going to go to the next step. I'm telling you right now, they got the team. They got the players. Everything's in place. They don't need to get rid of anybody. They did a good decision keeping that coach there.
All right, there you go. It's an optimistic call. He's looking forward to next year. He's forgotten about the disappointment of Sunday. I laud him. I haven't.
How about J.J. Redick? We got to get rid of him and get somebody that's more athletic and a ball handler that can play defense.
J.J. Redick has a useful place on this team. I'm not saying you shouldn't sign him, but he'd be firepower off the bench. For me, he's going to be 35. I mean, it comes a point in time where you got to have a guy in a defined role. All right, close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com.
You got a beef?
I don't like them.
What is it?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound dog gets on.
All right, that was Sound Dog. Don't forget our fanatic deal of the week. Two general admission tickets to opening tap for Philly Beer Week. That's Friday, May 31st. Just $46, two tickets for the price of one. Check it out now at 975thefanatic.com. On deck, on radio, the Fanatic Baseball Show with Andrew Salchunas. And on the NBC Sports Network, do a quick slant. So stay tuned for that on the TV side. Everybody have a great rest of the night. We're off tomorrow for the Mike Missanelli Open, but we'll catch you Friday. Have a good night, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.